Mm-hmm. Thank you. The notion that we need to be but the answer to the matter is that the interest of creation and the culture is already closer, and you can call it less intuitive. If you make the suffering of God, especially our first parents, and this is the first group of this type of meal, and the Bible's already a second group, is not all to the degree. Any is around the Bible, what it is pretty much about what they have read. It's not me, and I know them. It's completely about his own person. But to you, in my story, in a different way of where the current world comes. And there's a small group of people, and they're all going in a different way, and I'm going to go through it. There's a, one of the novelists, they were big fan of everything I can buy itself. Well, I also say, I just can't believe that there's going to be some kind of first class. But a small group of people that I'm going to disappoint me about this too. Almost nobody in the world knows that. We have the Feast of Tabernacles, and we come to keep a feast before God the Father or the Son Jesus Christ. This is a feast to the eternal God. And in order to see a picture of God's feast, there's a wonderful time of time when we say, oh, it's going to be God, and God did, you know, come back to that. Not much of the meaning, but all the way. Well, in Isaiah, let's turn over to pages from chapter 57. Isaiah 55, verse 5. Surely, you can play a motion. You do not know. And I say, if you do not know, you know, what's going on to you? Because of the human body, the only reason for me is glorifying you. Before things start getting fixed, in the very valley of the world, for seven at this place, almost nobody knows God. And as far as I know, he doesn't know them either. Who do not know you? But before that can go, that's a millennia. Before that time comes, I will still perform to be who we are. But as you might expect, the rest of the world does not know God. And the first thing you know, the way you do it, is you. Is it an option? Or is it a part of the plan? Let's see in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. What surprise has there been by the way this whole thing for 6,000 years has played out? I would suggest not surprised at all. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. Indicates that, I think. For faith in the wisdom of God, the Lord who written in the book of God. Prayer was found in Solomon took wisdom and power, the gathering of evidence, the anointing being at the funeral, wisdom, came up at a conclusion, and it all went good life, or things like that, or could be lied about. But it's not been God's purpose that people could come to know him. By reason, or by evidence. Not the subject of man. And when they did, the way to wisdom did not know that. They carried God to the purposes of the message preached to save them to believe. It's not those who responded to what commercial message of the Spanish message, but if they don't do it that way, but they can come to be saved, and they can come to love God. We have some kids that can use the Anglo Bible, since it's a common phrase, but in this case, I'm not going to read the same verse out of the Living Bible. Here's how that verse reads. 1 Corinthians 1:29 of the Living Bible. The Lord is the one who said to him that the world would never find God for human beings. How can only come to know about God? He can never have found God. He never have known God. And we live in it, in the metaphor, in the parable. But having his wisdom said to him that the world would never find God. Why did that infinite man to super beings? The Lord came to test him in the night of this beautiful feast, which they saw as a beautiful gift from God, from the God who heals the lost,
Thank to be kings of the wilderness. I think to be kings, we are very weak. In most contexts, one thing is about with this. It's the not being made. But it's the right man in his riches. But how do you not realize the man in this? This is where it is. And he understands and knows me. This is nothing else, this is the word. And calling the things that we people would say, I am afraid of God. And he understands and knows me. And he only eternally exercises love, kindness, judgment, and righteousness in my oath for those things I love. So now God is clear what he likes, what he doesn't like. Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, and the inspiration, says basically the same thing. Nothing eclipses in importance, knowing God. He said, I put Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. But indeed, I ask you to keep all things lost. I think you might ask for three or four things that people think are important, and sometimes yes, they are. And then maybe one of the things is important as well. God, well, what's the other? Nothing. Nothing to think of. If I am just zero in being compared to the Lord, I can all things last to the interest of the knowledge of Christ Jesus where I want to realize separate the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I'm not being Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is from the cross. The righteousness which is from God by faith, the in me, no one. Everything else is zero value. It'll be false. Throw it away. Put it in the trash. If you have to give this up, you wouldn't give this up if you thought. You'd give everything else up. It'd be zero. Seems like an extreme statement. It doesn't mean that you must be put in the Bible, according to John Reader, according to Paul. That you may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, and being performed to his death. Now let's go to John 17. The words of Jesus himself. John chapter 17. So what's the end game? Anything you got, isn't it? Salvation? Isn't it eternal life? Here he is, having salvation of eternal life. From Jesus' own words. This eternal life that they have, when they know you. That's our own definition of eternal life, that they may know you. And you actually know it in Jesus Christ from our sins. So just like you know the Bible that I started with, the first thing you know about God is Christ from the beginning. And it's really very visual being, because the people who are on the other side of it, the people on the first side of it, to all outward appearances look the same. They're not either heavier or lighter, handsome or ugly, tall or silver. It's not even seen. The other is a barrier between these two categories of people. On one side of it, like, people know me, they're pestilence and hurt and all this, and it's not been true for anybody else. If God carried down on your side of this, it's such an evidence for human reason. The creation and reason debate. Or logic. Or reason. The logic and reason are not bad, but gets to be in a way in which we know the image of God, animals make reason the same way humans do, but there are limits to what human reason and logic can come up with. And one of those limits is you can't get to that limit. You can't get to that meaning of knowing God just by human intellectual activity. So on one side of the view is the creation and evolution debate and the evidence that each God uses, human logic, human reason, human debate. That's right, the focus is on each side. Both pro and con are good, that's the end of the day. But there is a knowing which passes knowledge. Now there is a knowing which passes human knowledge. The demons believe that God is, but they don't know. John 2. meaning. She should be pleased to.
You believe that the flood is not real. Well, you believe that it is and was and will be right.
Well, that's only for me. We need to be.
But it's not the news. We need to be much. You believe there is no idea. You believe that even the demons believe the truth.
So, okay. What's a believer? Luke 4, verse 34.
It's not a reasonable belief, but it's a belief expressed in the Bible.
What can you believe? Luke 4, verse 34.
Here's some news. I think they should be thankful if they need to be believing these things. That's not even necessary. But this is Luke 4, verse 34. Saying, Nathan, what am I to do with you? Jesus is the Lord. Did you come to the trees? I don't know who you are. I don't know what that person you are. I don't know what you are doing. I want to pray out, read. I don't know what you are. That's what you say now. But all, you're a personal, intimate village. I don't know who you are. I don't know what I do. But this is the second point. The second point I mentioned about knowing God. The first one is nothing comes out of the first dimension that's important. The second one, God has to choose a person, and I want that person to be able to know him in the way we're discussing today. God is like the world we cut off from him. And you, and I shall meet in the spirit, and he chooses a feeling to know him, to be given the permission to know him. And so, just as you think, I don't think this is a surprise at all, but I could God be. God can be right on stage. We'll get back to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 24. Remember, what God will do in the future, he already knows how to do now. He makes the choosing not to do it now. He's choosing what he will do in the future. He could not know the truth. He's chosen not to do it now. Jeremiah 24, verse 7. And this is done now. This is the time for Saturday at this feast. And look what God will. And God will do this. He's not to do this. This is what he will do. These are the ideas that we have to know. So as we enter into the world, we say, well, I'm here again. We'll be able to be here again. I'm here and I'll be here again. If you have to do it then, you can do it now, it's choosing not to do it. Now you have to do it. Not now, but then you're going to be hard to know me. So most of you know me. I haven't been given that part now. But I'll let you see. And I'm going to be my people. And I'll be their God for those who will turn to me with a true heart. God is learning the cross-training program now on how to do it. He's already knows it. And I'll begin in verse 19. And here's a depiction of a small group of people that have gone through that day when they had a vow. We know the Word of God. And the whole world is going to bring another thing to bear. Turn off all the world. Turn on the lasting marks of our promise. The whole world lies under the spell of the wicked one. And when we knew that the Son of God is coming, is giving us an understanding that we need to be coming. But I think that is permission. It's a shalom that we will have. All the house may not be here. That's what I'm saying. That we need him who is true. And we are in him who is true. Let's also look at the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. In verse 16. So there was this contrast, many places in the Bible,
ce qui est une insécurité. Et le dernier étage, c'est une étage de la dernière.
To remain alone in bed, I have seen that the time is very quick.
because then most of us can talk about, we're not dealing with business, we're still a family, we're still seeing, but the commitment must remain. Our commitment, whatever it is, again, obedient in God must always be what the Christian is looking for and trying to get things by himself. And I don't know how hard it is, we land and get out of sight, but at least that's what we're trying to do. But the commitment is to reach that same goal. And when a Christian gives up the goal, I don't think he's telling you this is the goal. Let's look at the scriptures that underwrite and underwrite that point. 1 John chapter 2. When you're caught up with me, I'm going to send you a promise. There's a verse in Titus I'd like to read first. Let's find that verse. Titus chapter 1. Titus 1:16. And persist in your doctrine. A lot of people like to read the evil prayer. And I'm not convinced. And Philippians, I don't know as well as if I knew that they don't know the law. And I'm not bad at it. A lot of people don't understand good people. And they have no fault on the wrong side of the barrier. It's like, don't think they're going to be able to get a permission to ask for. But the perfection of God and the work in your life. So here are opposites. No one does this in denying your works. A person's going to continue in remaining knowing God has got to be committed to knowing what God works. Not that it's what saves them, but it's what they know God wants them to do. And the perfection of God, the works that God has available, deep in you. Deep in knowing God and knowing God, do what? And I'm going to do it. So the third point is the commitment, the intention, the desire. And the God in this person gives me, that's the desire to please God by obeying and loving Him. And I can make these things special. There are only two ways of looking at the same thing. We love God by obeying His will for us. But anyway, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. But when I walk, as I stand in the natural world, saying, you know, you think that this might be a kind of beings by now. In a sense, you're not paying for proving time, but even though God, the proof isn't really made, or you know, this is your problem, proof's never made, there is a confidence that goes with being on the other side of a beer and on the other man. And that's what's being expressed here, I believe. This is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. By this we know that we love him. See, Paul was convinced he knew about Abraham Lincoln. He knew the son, now that he knew it. There's no evidence that anybody in the power of God could ever put before you that would convince you that Abraham Lincoln is not alive. You know that you know that. And that's the same thing with the last person who knows God, but God permits him to know him. Now, in this age, because first fruits, the Father is the one who gets that privilege. Now, maybe that they know it. And one way they realize that they know him is they know that they still have been loved by him and rejected it, and they're exceeding their energies, and I think about that, to get me there. But this we know that I know him if he keeps coming to us. There are people who read that verse and say, well, I'm going to change it because I'm not going to the point where I'm not anymore. Well, you think you can hear yourself right, so that's okay. Well, it doesn't mean anything. But those who don't know it, by that we know that we know him if he keeps his commandments. He says, I know him, he does not keep his commandments, he says, I know the truth is not in him. And right from the bottom, it's like the wrong side of the bottom. John chapter 10, which you probably are both, but in 1 John and James, a lot of our writings are John about this topic. This is John chapter 10, in verse 4. I think When he brings out his own seed, he has to find them and receive them from the miserable roots. So I can hear a voice, and one of the voices is saying, "Rules, this is what I want you to be." And they're willing to do it. They come out to do it. As I say, when a person is given permission to go straight out of his rebellion and keep going the other way, it means he just doesn't stop. And it's very peaceful, and nothing is expected, and there's no action. There's a lot of action. We go back a couple of chapters to say it's a faith of God. Well, he is doing it. And properly understand that being is important. And people want to misunderstand what that means. It's different. But the Bible makes it clear that it is doing it. Obeying. Learning. In Romans 8 and verse 55, you have not known him, but you know him. So this is Christ. He's talking about people who are rebuilt in that way. They are the custodians of the sacred scriptures. And I talked about God. Again, I know this. I believe in Isaac and Jacob and Eve. I talked about him. I found the name that Jesus is speaking in Romans 8. But you don't know him. You don't know him. But you do. Jesus is the Son. It's not Abraham Greek's son, it's God the Father's son. And the Son means the Father. In the way that those who want to believe him, God makes the meaning of believing with disobedience. Do not know. So I ask, you do not know him, but he know him. And if I say I do not know him, I'd be a lying person. It's pretty. Such a person is never humble as he approaches and lives before God. He doesn't think he brings much to the people. That person doesn't think he brings much to the people. And as Jesus introduced the topic, is the need to be saved in the first instance. He knows God as his Savior. That's the point. Such a person knows God as his Savior. His Creator, yes, but his Savior. A person cannot know God unless that person is conscious of his need for God's mercy and forgiveness. Paul's there, 13. So here will be some scriptures that will lead to that. Conclusion. Paul's there, 13. Verse 4. Verse 4 and 5. And he, the eternal God, and you say, no God but me. There's no contact, the next words. There's no Savior but me. And again, I want you to know is me, and me is your Savior. You say, no God but me. There's no Savior but me. If we look at Isaiah 43, beginning of verse 2. Isaiah 43:10 says, "You are my witnesses, says the Eternal, and my servants, whom I have chosen to be the point to you." Christmas movie entitled Fusion of the Previous Man. I think it's going to be Fusion. Fusion can I enroll the little part in my context? And you see that I am he, a little in the Latino, and the first one is my same. So I think it's connected to human being between the whole God and all he is a fairy. And a person who knows me as a holy knows that I want to be he, by action. But they don't bring much to the table. Now I go back to 15 personality to chapter 19. And among people who describe the scriptures who actually, from a moment of performance, frankly, didn't bring all this to the table. Everyone Jesus was saying that these two people went to the temple to pray. One of them basically was congratulating God for his misfortune, and now, this Pharisee, this person, he was saying, good how lucky he was to be sitting across the table from somebody who brought so much to the table. He's fast, constantly, tired. That person finally broke out of it to the table. And the man thought he got nothing. He didn't want to talk. And even worse, there was a thing. Who won't believe in the name of Jesus? Once again, 19, verse 20. It will be from Simon. And for witness, the entire host in the land of Egypt, that there will be crying and eternity because of the oppressors, and he will see the Savior. And then one reward, and then the other one. Then the tree will be known. Even the tree will be known when he expresses his capacity to speak. He'll be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know that it's all in this country. That's why you make the way. This is not a moment of passage, or even made of the law. But then I remember how to make the Egyptians know me, and I'm trying to say, okay, this is just something that's different. I mean, you might believe it could be the execution of the ground. It won't be. Everything's over control. It could rattle Caesar. So, we will look. The Egyptians will be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will remove the Egyptians and their place there. And we'll make sacrifice and offering, yes, we'll make a way to the eternal and performance. But as you know, all the people, chapters 31. Verse 74. You have in the house a little kid demeanor, my most prudent care, and you try to think, forget this minute, listen to me, Elijah. You will not be Abraham. I don't know what happened. You will be eating this when you will die in this, and there won't be those who do have the chance to know, because those who do have the chance to know, because they need the chance to know. That's what this verse is saying, isn't it? The law says every man, 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 they were forgiven their iniquity. It went all along them as God who does forgiven. Who saves them. And they forgive the iniquity and the sin and the remember no more. One of these four mystical sins in the biblical system, if you take notes of this, just stand and think about it on your own. Think about everything you're saying about the Bible and those children and one side, or those men who are on the other side, or the trees of the time that we're celebrating picturing when you think of all of that. And I have this one. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. How well does God know you? I think you would have to read several books. He doesn't know those problems. And he knows my thoughts. God knows me perfectly. Promise to nothing below you. And we are, no, he already knows us. What about this? Corinthians 13, verse 12. Therefore, I am doing it. But these are fresh things. We should be more emphatic. Paul's not wrong. He's in a good room, and he says it's fair. So I believe I'm not wrong, Bill, but it's fair and perfect. So I'll just pretend. This is on point. But then, when you say no, at least those men are still in me. So the answer to the question is the first one, no, God is not telling us this. I think you're wrong. Let's take the other one. That's when we are in a great response to being sales, between sales. What a future. To know God is what sells us. And now by faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Let's conclude with these thoughts. And if these pictures are meant for us, the picture of the time where the whole world will know God is only a tiny few, the elect, the chosen of God, and the real. Only then will the know God is the saving God, is the elect, the real Lord. There's nothing more important than knowing God. If anything, we need to know Him, we must dedicate ourselves with our whole hearts to obeying and loving Him. Still, it is a worthy goal for all of us to know Him and to know Him deeper. To be dealing and knowing God. God has given to us people opportunity to know Him well and to proclaim His promise of peace to help all nations and peoples to know Him in the world tomorrow. So the last scripture is 2 Peter. Chapter 3 and verse 17. Mentions giving and loving. You then shall be loving. If you know these things, as I do it, the way that you are fulfilling from your own self-interest, and not only the error of the wicked, but growing in the grace and the knowledge, growing in knowledge, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Him be the glory before and forever. Amen.